Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
In speculation whether Kevin Durant could make a comeback attempt with a delayed NBA season, Nets teammate Spencer Dinwiddie had high praise for KD. He said, quote, at 80%, Durant is Dirk Nowitzki. At 100%, he's the best scorer of all time. Shannon, some strong words. Do you agree?
No. Skip, look, I get it. As a teammate, Skip, you, and especially you have a great teammate, you heap praise and you try to say, oh, man, this guy's unbelievable, a reason why we're having such great success, although Kevin Durant has not played for the Nets yet, Skip, but I get what he's trying to do here. But, Skip, he went overboard. How do you feel he's better? So what have we seen? So have we not seen Kevin Durant healthy? We've never seen Kevin Durant every 35. You can't say if this, if that. What we've seen from Kevin Durant in his previous, 11, 12? I think he's been in the league 11 years, 12 years prior to this year, him being hurt, Skip. We've never seen him score at the clip that Jordan did. We've never seen him score. First of all, take Wilt out of the equation. We know what Wilt was 30 and 23, so we're going to remove him. We're going to go since the merger, Skip. Is he a better scorer than MJ? Is he a better scorer than Kobe? Is he a better scorer than what we've seen over James Harden over the last 5 years? No. And to say 80% of Kevin Durant is Dirk Nowitzki, dude, Skip, does he realize what Dirk Nowitzki was? A finals MVP, a league MVP, 12-time All-Star. He was the first true stretch. A guy that height at 7 foot tall that could shoot it from that distance. He was the first. And to say Kevin Durant at 80% is Dirk Nowitzki in his prime, that is an utterly ridiculous statement to make. Now, I believe Kevin Durant, Skip, I mean, the last publication, some people believe he's a top 10 player. If he's a not top 10 player currently, by the time he's done, I believe he will be. But to say Kevin Durant at 80% is Dirk Nowitzki, when Dirk Nowitzki is an MVP, so you believe in that at 80%, Kevin Durant still would have been an MVP. Kevin Durant still would have been a two-time finals MVP. At 80% of what he is, what he was at his best, you believe he would accomplish that. I do not, Skip Bayless. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what Kevin Durant is coming off this Achilles injury, Skip. Now, I do not believe Kevin Durant's game is based on explosiveness or quickness, but it's going to be interesting to see because a half an inch here or a half an inch there could mean, and I know it's hard, it's difficult to contest a guy that has the arc. A guy that's 7 foot tall and shooting at the ball at a 10-foot apex. I get that. But it's going to be interesting to see how this Achilles affects his game and what he can and what he can't do. So it's not like they asked Kevin Durant, Kevin, now we're going to need you to average, you know, about 10, 12, 15 triple-doubles a season. We're going to need you to lead us in rebound and lead us in assists. Kevin Durant has been a scorer. He's averaged 6 assists. LeBron, I mean, his greatest season has yet to, he has yet to average 6 assists in a season. LeBron has 16 seasons of those. So, Skip, it's not like we're asking him to facilitate. He's never done that. Russ has taken on that task. Steph Curry had that, and Draymond took that task in the Warriors. So he's been a scorer. But I find it, this should be beneath Spencer Dinwiddie. You can hype a guy without trying to minimize and minimize what another guy's accomplished. Kevin Durant is a hell of a ball player, and I hope he comes back to what he was even better. But to say that Kevin Durant at 80% is Dirk Nowitzki, that's false. Patently, blatantly false.
Did I just hear you proclaim Michael Jordan the GOAT? Did you just say Michael Jordan?
Skip,
we're
talking about scoring. Skip.
Right?
Skip.
I think you just did, and I appreciate it.
Oh, my.
I applaud you for that. Way to go, Shannon. You finally finally gave in and joined the rest of the world. Jordan is the GOAT. Here he is.
Before you go, Skip.
Jordan is the GOAT.
Can I ask, before you go, how do you deduce? I'm saying Michael Jordan is a better scorer. Kobe is a better scorer. James Harden in their prime are better scorer than what Kevin Durant is. How do you deduce I say that Michael Jordan then is the GOAT? I didn't say that.
Okay, I'll let you off that hook right now, but now you're back on another hook. Kevin Durant is the best player on the planet. We haven't seen him for a year because he tore his Achilles tendon. So he's been out of sight and out of mind until his new teammate, Spencer Dinwiddie, made this comment. Spencer Dinwiddie actually made a very objective, very true comment. Kevin Durant is the most talented scorer we've ever seen. I often call Michael Jordan a supremely talented overachiever. In fact, Bob Costas once used that line from my Chicago Tribune column during a finals telecast on NBC. He liked it so much. But that's what Jordan was. He wasn't as gifted as Kevin is because Michael was 6'6". Kevin is 7 feet tall, and Kevin has an 8-foot wingspan. Kevin Durant has made 90% of his free throws for an entire season. Kevin Durant's an 89% free throw maker for his career. He's 7 feet tall. Four times, Kevin Durant has made more than 40% of his three-point attempts for a whole season. Think about that. Four times he went over 40% from three. What? And back in the days, I was on a show called Cold Pizza when Kevin was at University of Texas for that 1 year. I routinely predicted on the air, this guy is going to win multiple scoring titles in the NBA. And everybody on that show laughed at me. And now he's won 4 scoring titles, and twice he's averaged more than 30 points a game for an entire season. We've never seen anything like Kevin Durant. And just when you thought you could say, well, has he done it at the highest level? Back-to-back finals, he went to LeBron's house for game threes in the King's house, in his palace. And he owned those games. He took them over. He made shots right in LeBron's grill, jumper after mid-range jumper. Kevin Durant is the best mid-range jump shooter we have seen since Michael Jordan. And for him to be back-to-back finals MVP just cemented the case. It validated everything. Yeah, he can do it at the very highest level against the King. What?
Skip, that's not what Spencer Dinwiddie is saying. What about the 80%? I ask you a simple question. Would KD have accomplished what he accomplished at 80%? At 80% of what you see?
Accomplished what?
Would he have been back-to-back finals
Dirk
MVP?
Dirk at 80%? Yeah. Yeah, I'll give him better than Dirk at 80%.
Skip,
I will.
Skip, stop.
Well, I just
Skip,
will.
Stop. Come on,
okay.
Man.
No, stop. Let me give you Exhibit B then from another teammate of his, although now an ex-teammate, Andre Iguodala, said about a year ago, told Sports Illustrated this quote, if I might read it, listen and learn. Andre said of Kevin Durant, people don't appreciate him enough. He's the most talented scorer of all time, hands down. He's a walking 30 points. He'll get 30 on 12 shots. That's very, very hard to do, very efficient. Most guys need to feel the ball in their hands a lot to get a rhythm. He does not. Michael Jordan and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar were the two guys with unstoppable moves. MJ had the fadeaway, Kareem had the skyhook. But KD is a 7-footer who can hit a hezzy pull-up from 50 feet out. That's his unstoppable move. That's it. I couldn't say it any better myself. Andre Iguodala gets it. He has high basketball IQ. In living with Kevin on the same team, getting to see him in practice, Andre finally concluded, that's the most gifted scorer of all time because when that jumper's falling, you can't block it. You can't even get a hand up in his face. It's up too high.
Skip, I'm not debating that. I'm not arguing that. Just because someone is talented, Skip, who's the more talented of the receivers? Randy Moss or Jerry Rice? Randy Moss ran faster, he could jump higher, had a bigger catch radius. Just because he's more talented, what do the numbers say? What does touchdowns, what does yards, what does catches, what does that say, Skip? The numbers say Jerry Rice is the greatest. Okay, Kevin Durant is maybe more talented because he's taller. He can shoot the ball at a higher arc. But what does the numbers say? And then the argument is 80% of what you see Kevin Durant is Dirk Nowitzki. Do you, and I ask, do you believe if 80% of what we've seen Kevin Durant at his best, do you believe he would have been an MVP? Do you want to believe he would have been back-to-back finals MVP? I do not.
I don't know. 80% is hard to quantify. He is so supremely gifted that if I took 20% away, would he still be pretty unstoppable? Yeah, he would be. And again,
Skip, do you realize what you're saying?
I was wondering about Dirk. I wasn't. Yeah. Oh, I know exactly what I'm saying. I never was sure about Dirk. He did have that one breakthrough against LeBron, but that was more LeBron's fault than credit going to Dirk Nowitzki. That was the 2011 finals when LeBron James suffered the worst superstar meltdown in the history of sports in games 4, 5, and 6. LeBron melted down and opened the door for Dirk to finally have a breakthrough and say, oh, okay, I am this guy. I never thought he was quite that guy, and I'm still not completely sure he was that guy. Stop Kevin, yes, he's that guy.
Can I ask you a question? Skip, if you don't mind me asking, can I ask you a question? Did Kobe melt down? Because Kobe was back-to-back finals MVP. They had come off back-to-back finals, and Dirk swept him. He also beat Kevin Durant and Westbrook. So did he melt down? So did they melt down? I just need to make sure. I just need to make sure, because we're saying they're melted down. So Kobe melted down. Because he got swept coming out back-to-back finals MVP. So he melted down. Why not? Wait a minute. Just a second.
Did you watch? Wait. Was Kobe up 2-1? No. That Laker team
Kobe was no game.
Shot. It was finished. It was quitting. It quit on Phil Jackson. You know it. It was decimated. It was injured. Kobe was hurt. They were all hurt. That was a bad Lakers team. You know it, and I know it. Dallas took advantage of what they were not.
Skip, are you saying a back-to-back champ with the finals MVP in both of those wins was a bad team? So how the hell did they make it to the playoffs?
You know what? I'm not going to go there. You're trying to change the subject off the point at hand, which is that
you brought LeBron
Kevin Durant
into it.
Is the best player on the planet. Okay, Kevin Durant is better than LeBron James. You know it, and I know it. I'm saying it to you. I'm trying to show you where all your angst is coming from here. You're saying, oh, my God, oh, my God, I lost the Jordan debate. Now I'm going to lose the LeBron KD debate. And you're saying, wait a second, what about Dirk?
No.
What about Randy Moss? It's not about Dirk or Randy Moss.
Skip, that's what he said. He said 80% of Kevin Durant is better than Dirk Nowitzki at his prime. That was the context. You brought LeBron in it. But since you took it there, I'm going to go there. Who has more regular season MVPs? Who has more finals MVPs? Who has more all-NBA first teams? Who have more all-star appearances? Who has scored more points through the same time frame?
Who is the better scorer, Kevin Durant or LeBron James? That is the question at hand.
LeBron James averages more points than Kevin Durant. Ta-da! LeBron James averages more points than Kevin Durant. He shoots a higher percentage than Kevin Durant. Okay, next question.
All right, next question. Who took over 2 back-to-back game threes in successive finals in the King's Palace? In Cleveland, you know, Ohio. Who was that guy? Number 35 for the Golden State Warriors.
I'm going to pull one of your own redirect. What did LeBron James do? So can I interest you in 42-13-9 in a losing call? Because that's what we do. You know, when you play great and you lose, it's not your fault. That's what we did for Jordan. Jordan lose a game, play great, it's not his fault. So LeBron James in game 3, that first time in Cleveland, what was his number, Skip? So we can't put that on him. Next.
Who came to your restaurant after the game? Because you only serve losers at your restaurant.
See, you see what
LeBron
you did, Skip?
Came.
Skip.
He was knocking on the door. Can I come in?
What metric, Skip? My guy averages more points, more rebounds, more assists than your guy. My guy has more first-team All-NBA than your guy. My guy has more All-Star appearances than your guy. More All-Star MVPs than your guy. More defensive first teams. Your guy's never made a defensive first team. Or have he made a second team? So I'm just asking, what are you using to say Kevin Durant is better than LeBron, other than being 7 foot tall?
As you always tell me about Jordan, it's not about history, it's about now. What's happening
your
right now?
Your guy's not playing.
I realize Kevin didn't play last year.
Your guy's not playing. Okay, well, how can you say he's better? He's not even playing.
He will play. He'll be back. He'll be back next year. And he'll be back in all his glory. And he is the most gifted scorer ever. You know it, and I know it. That's the point of this. And once again, you have lost another one. LeBron loses to Jordan. LeBron loses to KD.
So, hold on. The last time I remember, if my history is correct on this, was 1875. I think George Armstrong Custer said, "I'll be back." He went up there to a little bighorn. They hadn't seen him since.
I thought MacArthur said he'd be back, but that I may be getting history confused.
That was the Terminator also said that, but I, if I'm not mistaken, it was something to that effect, though, Skip Bayless. You need to stop. Kevin Durant is great, but LeBron James is the GOAT. No mercy.
Pro Football Focus has dubbed the Saints offense as perfectly inefficient with Drew Brees under center. His average depth of target has steadily declined the last 8 years, while his passing grade has risen overall. And over the past 3 years, Brees has the best passer rating out of any quarterback, just ahead of new division rival Tom Brady. And according to Fox Bet, Brady is projected to have more passing yards than Brees in 2020. So, Shannon, you know, 40 is apparently the new 30. So which 40-plus quarterback do you expect to have a better season?
You see how we've changed this narrative? Now, once upon a time, Tom Brady only cared about winning. Tom Brady only cared about winning because Peyton Manning was putting circles around him. But Peyton wasn't winning championships. Tom was winning championships. And I heard every pundit across every platform, all Tom Brady cares about is winning. All his fans in New England, Peyton can throw for 400 yards. Tommy's going to hold the trophy. In order to make Tommy look good, now Tommy doesn't go to because he can't be judged by championship. Well, what about the numbers that he put up? He put up better numbers than Drew Brees. Oh, no. I'm not going to let y'all change that, Skip Bayless. Oh, no. Tom Brady is going to always be judged on championships. I'm not going to let you change the scenery. A penguin is a penguin no matter where he is. I don't know where he's from, where he might be at, Antarctica or somewhere, wherever they're from, Skip Bayless. You can put him in the Brooklyn Zoo. You can put him in the San Diego Zoo. It's still a penguin. That's still Tom Brady, and he still should be judged by championship. Now, he might have better numbers than Drew Brees, but Drew Brees going to win the division, and isn't that all that matters? Who wins more? Who goes further? I got the New Orleans Saints. Stop trying to change the narrative so Tom Brady, oh, but look at the numbers that a 43-year-old put up. Did he win the championship? That's all I care about. At the end of the day, that's all I'm judging Tom Brady on. Not how well he played, not how many touchdowns he threw for, not how many passing yards. Did he win Super Bowl 55? We're not changing the narrative now just because Tom Brady's in a new location. He's still Tom Brady, and Skip Bayless told me just the other day, he's still the GOAT. So GOATs should do GOATish things and not concern themselves with stats and concern themselves with Lombardis.
Did you just compare Tom Brady to a penguin?
Yeah.
A penguin?
My, Skip Bayless, see, you see what you're trying to do?
Blatant blasphemy.
Skip, I'm saying, no matter where he's located, Skip, I'm saying, just because he might not be where his home is, you take him out of his natural habitat, put him in the Brooklyn Zoo, put him in the Columbus Zoo or the San Diego Zoo, it's still a penguin. Take Tom Brady out of New England. He's still Tom Brady. Although that's no longer his natural habitat where he spent 20 years, he's going to Tampa. He shouldn't change. You shouldn't be basing it on that. When are we ever concerned with stats? We never ask who's going to have better stats. Tom Brady or Pat Mahomes, Tom Brady or Drew Brees, prior to Tom Brady going to Tampa, because now he doesn't have that luxury of having Coach Belichick in that system in place. We got to give something or Tom Brady can hang his hat on. Yards. No, I won't allow it to happen. Not on my watch.
So why not compare Tom Brady to the king of the jungle, to a lion? You can take the lion out of Africa. You can put him in Foxborough. You can put him in Tampa. You can put him on the, this lion on the beach.
He's still
Tampa,
a lion.
And
okay.
He won't,
so he's still a lion.
He won't lie on the beach. He'll just go right out. He'll just trot right over to the stadium and devour more competition. So let me put this narrative right back on track in your wheelhouse. Tom Brady will have a better statistical season than Drew Brees, and Tom Brady's football team will win the division over Drew Brees' football team and will win the conference and get to the first ever home Super Bowl played by a home team. How's that for narrative? Do you like it? Can you digest it?
I like it.
Can you handle it?
Yeah.
Does it make more sense to you? Okay.
Yeah. Hold on. Skip. No. I got to get this down. Okay. So we got five cases on the division. Now we got another five cases on them winning the conference. So that's 10 total cases that you bet on Tom Brady. 10.
Okay. I did not bet you on the conference. I did bet you on the division. But I also bet you that Tampa's record will be better than New England's record. And we got 10 cases on that. So we're 10 five on the division. Yeah, we don't have any on the conference because what are they? They're probably the fourth seeded, the fourth best odds to win the conference somewhere in that ballpark. So I need 4-1 odds. So if you want to bet five cases on the conference, then I win 20 cases if I win that bet, right?
Hold on. I'm good with that. So hold on. But you ain't giving me the odds with the Patriots. I mean, we down to bare bones. We got nothing in the cupboards. And you expected me to whip up this seven course meal when I ain't got nothing in my cupboards. You ain't giving me no odds.
You started it. You were the one who suggested the bet in the first place because you were so sure way back before free agency even started that New England was going to be better than Tampa, right?
As soon as Tom Brady signed with Tampa,
the first thing you said.
I thought that Bill Belichick would make a play for at least Andy Dalton or Cam Newton. I didn't know you're going to ride shotgun all the way with Stidge.
Okay. Well, that's on you. That's your fault. So we're going to talk about Cam Newton and Bill Belichick a little later in the show. But right now, back to Drew Brees. These numbers were startling to me because it's clear to me that Drew Brees has declined more at age 41 than Tom Brady has at almost age 43. Because what was happening last year was he just has no mustard on the deep ball at all. He just can't throw the deep ball because in deep passing percentage last year, Drew Brees ranked 35th. In air distance, he was 27th, how far he's throwing passes. In air distance completion percentage, he was 30th. So it's just showing you no deep ball. Yet he did wind up 8th in the league in yards passing per game, which is pretty decent. How is that?
Yeah.
He's all-time dinking and dunking. Tom Brady's still got a big arm. That will be showcased more with this offense and these weapons, Bruce Arians, obviously Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, all the others, in Tampa than it was in New England, where he had the worst receiving core in football. So to me, I saw no diminishing of arm strength on Brady's part last year in New England, and I think you'll see none this year in Tampa. But Drew Brees is just all-time dinking and dunking, and it still works pretty well until they ran into the Vikings in a home wild card game. Home game in that Superdome, arguably the hardest place to win at in pro football. And Drew Brees was pretty lousy in that game. He had a big late interception. He lost a sack fumble. He had a QBR of only 47 in that game, threw for only 208 yards in that game. And they finally lost to Kirk Cousins and the Vikings in overtime, 26-20. So are you sure that Drew Brees isn't starting to hit the wall, or has he already hit the wall? Sean Payton blurted out a month or so ago, it's Drew's last season. I think that was news to Drew, but I think Sean Payton is ready to segue on to either Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston, whoever the next quarterback of the Saints will be.
Skip, But when you look at it, Skip, you talk about Tom Brady. Tom Brady hadn't been bombs away since Randy Moss. Now, who's more? He's the king of the screen, swing pass to the back out of the backfield, and the shallow cross option route to Julian Edelman. So when was Tom Brady bombs away like Jameis was in Tampa or like Pat Mahomes in New England? When was the last time we saw Tom Brady light the sky up throwing bombs?
Wait a second. In deep passing numbers, several of the websites, they have different sort of analytics for it, different formulas. But I saw one the other day that ranked him fourth last year in deep throws.
Yeah.
Percentage of completion of deep throws. I think one had him tied for first in tight window deep throws of 20-plus yards last year.
But he was 27th in yards per attempt and 27th in completion percentage. So something's not computing here. You know, the computer, I'm trying to... Hold on, let me get my calculator out.
Mm. Yeah.
That does something ain't adding up. 27th in completion percentage, 27th in yards per attempt. So, I mean, what that means, Skip? So how you bombs away if you 27th in yards per attempt? How are you bombed?
Huh, wait, did he have Antonio Brown last year? Well, he did for a minute. Did he have Josh Gordon? Well, he did for about 3 minutes. Did he have Julian Edelman last year? Well, he needed surgery on his shoulder. He had cracked ribs. He had a bum knee, and he led the league in drop passes.
Ah. Oh, my good. Skip, what shade did you paint your house of excuse with? I mean, that's a beautiful teal shade of excuse that you just used for Tom Brady. Mm. Just painting the wall. Jenny, you see that? He painted the wall teal excuse. Mm. And then he got a bright, nude color up in his room of excuse. He had a bum shoulder. He had a bum knee. He didn't have this. Skip Bayless, in all my years, you never made excuses for anybody like you make for the goat. What kind of goat you got to make excuses for? Now, your guy, when Michael Jordan had Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan had Phil Jackson for the better part of his career, and Magic had Pat Riley, and some of the greats had Coach Auerbach and Greg Popovich. You don't make concessions like that for LeBron about what he didn't. All you do is say he choked. Not Tom Brady couldn't beat Ryan Tannehill in a playoff, and you make excuses. The fact of the matter is Drew Brees has never been bombs away. This has always been Drew Brees. Now, he would throw it deep when he had Ted Ginn Jr., but Ted was hurt for the better part of the season. It's unbelievable to me, Skip, like a lot of people. How can someone not cover Mike Thomas when they know he's not going to run anything over 15 yards? Well, Sean Payton has done a great job of diagramming, putting Drew Brees in situation, and Drew Brees is has the highest completion percentage in NFL history. So it worked for them. Just like Tom Brady swinging the ball to the back out of the backfield and hitting Julian Edelman on shallow crosses and option route, it worked for him. And before that, it was Wes Welker. Mm. So stop making excuses. Mm. Your guy might have better numbers, your guy won't go further than Drew Brees.
He will. So just for the record, just to put this in perspective, once upon a time, Drew Brees could really throw it long. You have to be able to throw it long to have the yardage total that he has. He's thrown for 77,416 yards. That's by far the most of any quarterback in NFL history. That's actually 2,845 yards more than Tom Brady, who is second on that list. Touchdown passes. Yeah. Maybe. Because Drew Brees leads all time in touchdown passes, although he's only six ahead of the GOAT. And I'm thinking the GOAT might just catch and pass Drew Brees this year now that the GOAT's in Tampa.
Didn't your guy come in 2000? Drew came in 2001. So your guy's a year older. But that's not here nor there. Skip, you make it seem
time out.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Go ahead. No,
Drew
I'm saying
Brees you has, put has played only 275 games to Tom's 285. So I'm going to give you that. Drew Brees has been extraordinary. Okay. Throwing deep balls.
Skip, but to put it in baseball terms, Drew Brees has never been Roger Clemens. He's always been Greg Maddux. You make it seem like he had Mahomes or Brett Favre arm when he was in San Diego. That was never his game. So, obviously, he threw the ball deep well enough to accumulate all those touchdown passes, all those passing yards, so he... It wasn't all swing passes and check down, Skip. No mercy.
Mike Sando of The Athletic ranked each NFL franchise's most dominant single season team since 1970 using a formula of winning percentage in points per game. Among other factors, the 1985 Bears topped the list. Second was the 84 Niners, followed by the 91 Redskins. So, Shannon, do you agree that the 85 Bears were the best of all time?
No, I don't, Skip. I talked to Dent, Richard Dent, who's a good friend of mine. We went in the Hall of Fame together. He went to Tennessee State. Obviously, I went to Savannah State and Skip, so we joke a lot. I said, man, y'all the most hyped Super Bowl team in the history of the world. I said, y'all was one-sided dominant. You make it seem like y'all had like 17 Hall of Famers on the offensive side of the football. Y'all really only had one. That's Walter. Defense was dominant. But for me, Skip, a lot of these teams I remember. I remember the Washington team, and I remember the 84 Niners. But, Skip, I went with the 75 Steelers. They had 10 Hall of Famers. I don't think we'll ever see that again. They outscored their opponents by 15 points a game. The defense averaged giving up 11.6 points a game. And, Skip, that's unbelievable. And you were around, and you know what they used to do. They used to beat the brakes off your Cowboys. And so you should give them even more credit than that because they kept the Cowboys from winning a couple of Super Bowls, didn't they, Skip? I know you don't like the Steelers because they did a number on your Cowboys for the longest time, kept them from... Man, just imagine how many Super Bowls the Cowboys would have won if there were no Steelers. Y'all probably have another three or four, Skip. But unfortunately, there was the Steelers, and you didn't get it. Skip, I got some issues. You know your boy on this thing a couple of times. You know your boy. You know, the Broncos, 98 team, we number 9, of course, because we could do it. You know, we could score points. Defense put you in a hole. Then our defense come get you. Yeah, and my Ravens. Now, see, I got a problem with this. This is the biggest problem. Skip, you're like, okay, fine. You want to say the 85 Bears, I don't believe it. I like the 75 Steelers. You want to go 84 Niners or the 83 or Washington team? Okay, I get all that. But, Skip, the Ravens and what we possessed on defense, I say we because I was on that team even though I didn't play defense, Skip. That defense had 4 shutouts. They had 8 games in which they allowed 7 points or less. They allowed 60 yards a game rushing, which is the best since the merger. They averaged giving up 10.3 points a game. To put this in context, if you take the regular season 16 games and you take the 4 playoff games in which they played, they didn't give up 190 points. They gave up 1 offensive touchdown in 4 playoff games, Skip. So to put this in perspective, in 4 playoff games, Skip, they gave up 23 points. 23. So that's 5.3 points a game in 4 games in the playoffs. I don't know how you get better than that, Skip. They did not allow, in 16 games, they didn't allow the team to gain 1,000 rush yards. They didn't allow 3,000 total pass yards. 4 shutouts, 8 games, 7 points or fewer. We got to be high. And as a matter of fact, Skip, our defense was better than the Bears statistically. Do you know that, Skip? Allow fewer points, fewer yards, rush yards than the 85 Bears. We got to be higher than that. Recount. We want to recount. 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 I'm going to take it to the Supreme Court. If y'all don't recount this thing, I'm going to the Supreme Court like in 2000.
Okay. Let me go back to the start, to the 85 Bears.
Okay.
I covered a lot of the 85 Bears games. I think I know them very well. I worked in Chicago, so in hindsight, I really got to know them very well. I must admit, before I looked hard into this last night, I agreed with your premise that they were all defense. It was all-time great because nobody had ever seen anything like it. It was the equivalent of the wishbone offense in college football, especially at Oklahoma, where nobody had seen it and couldn't stop it. It took 4 or 5 years before people started to figure out how to mirror the wishbone and contain it. In this case, it's that what's called the Bear defense, coached by the late, great Buddy Ryan. And nobody had ever seen anything quite like the 46. Yeah. How they attacked you. They came from everywhere. They mauled the quarterback. And it was a sight to behold because it was awe-striking in you as a fan and in the opposing quarterback's eyes. So I got that. And I'll get to your 2000 Ravens defense in a moment. But as I looked harder at the Bears offense, I thought it was mediocre at best. It was a little better than mediocre. They did have four Pro Bowlers that year. Jim McMahon, the quarterback, made the Pro Bowl. And I'm not sure how, because he had 15 touchdowns to 11 interceptions. But whatever, he did make it. And yeah. I thought Walter was nearing the end of the line that year, because in the playoffs, Walter faded out and was kind of a non-factor. But during the year, he had 1,551 yards. That's huge. That's yeah. great. He had a Walter yes. Payton regular season. So I'm going to give you that. Correct. And they had two offensive linemen, Jim O'Covert and Hilgenberg, Covert. Who made the Pro Bowl. So they could run the yeah. football like crazy. So yeah. it wasn't just all defense. But let me go first to your point about the Ravens. Just on eye test, I don't know why. I covered a bunch of your I covered the game at Tennessee that year.
Tennessee.
Man, it was the most physical. Yeah, it was the most physical football game I've ever watched. And I was right there. I was in the press box. And to my eye test, thanks to Ray Lewis, you didn't have Ed Reed yet, but
right.
it felt as dominating as the Bears. But I do think the Bears might have had a slightly better offense than you guys did. And that's no disrespect to you, but to your quarterback. You know, it's Trent Dilfer, it's Tony Banks, whatever was going on. It was back and forth, and it ended up yeah. Trent Dilfer, obviously, to the Super Bowl. Trent. But mm-hmm. I still think the Bears' offense, because of Walter, might have been slightly better than yours. Mm-hmm. So now mm-hmm. I'm back to your premise that you like the 75 Steelers as your best team ever.
Yeah.
To me, this is picking nits here. It's 6-1, half dozen the other. I'll take any of those Steelers teams from 75, 76, 77, or 78. I'll go 78. Yeah. It's the same. It's 6-1, half dozen the other. But, Shannon, I've already told you that I covered the two Super Bowls, both of them. I was there for Super Bowl 10. Dallas-Pittsburgh, and then Super Bowl, and that's the 75, or Super Bowl 13, right. which was 78 Steelers against my Cowboys. Shannon, the 78 Steelers, they had 10 Pro Bowlers and 10 Hall of Famers. I told you the collection of talent on the field that day at the Orange Bowl in Miami, I'd never seen anything like it before or since. It's just Hall of Famers are everywhere, and the Steelers right. Hall of Famers weren't heavy on defense or heavy on offense. It was five Hall of Famers and five Hall of Famers offense defense. What?
Yep.
That's impossibly great. That's firepower on both sides of the ball that you can't match up with it. And by the way, Dwight White was another pass rusher. You'll never see it. Dwight White made two Pro Bowls and didn't make the Pro Bowl that year. So that could have been an 11th one. So I'm with yeah. you. I'll take the Steelers dynastic team, whichever one you want, was the greatest team I ever saw, with our man Terry Bradshaw at the helm. Because remember, Terry Bradshaw was the MVP in 1978 in the season. So he was right. having a great year, and they were having right. a greater year because they dominated right. and then got to the Super Bowl. And that brings me to my final point. That Cowboy team, again, the one that they ranked, Mike Sando chose, thanks to his formula, was the 77 team that crushed your Broncos in the Super Bowl. I actually preferred the next year's team, the 78 Cowboys, who lost barely to the greatest team ever, the Steelers. It was 35-31 because my team had 9 Pro Bowl players on it, and my team had 6 Hall of Famers that should have been 7 because Drew Pearson, it's just a sad yeah. joke that he never got in the Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Famer. He made most of the yeah. greatest catches in Cowboy history were made by yeah. Drew Pearson. You want to talk about all-time right. clutch? So I'm going to give right. them 7 Hall of Famers, and that brings me to they were ranked 10th on that list. And your team in 98 in Denver was ranked above them at 9?
Yeah,
your team was not better than the 77-78 Cowboys. You were not better. You had only four Hall of Famers, including yourself, but that Dallas team was more loaded than your Denver team. It just was. That team would have beaten the brakes off your Denver team, even with John Elway. I had Roger Staubach, and you had TD Terrell Davis. I had Tony Dorsett.
Yeah, how y'all gonna stop it?
Tony Dorsett was better than Terrell Davis. Tony Dorsett was lightning, who could also run between the tackles. Tony Dorsett was more of a home run hitter than Terrell Davis was. Mm-hmm. I'll take my team on offense and doomsday defense over your team. Thank you very much.
All I know is that we're ranked in the front of them, Skip. So I'm sorry, again, me being in front of you. I don't know what you want me to tell you about that, Skip. The Broncos, number 9, baby.
You know what?
I think we should have been higher.
Yeah, what I'm hearing in your voice, that you know that's wrong. You know it's completely bogus.
No.
And you're accepting it just because my team's one notch below yours. But I think I'm hearing in your voice, straight from your heart, you know that the 78 Cowboys were better than the 98 Broncos.
Skip, for me, I think the 97 Broncos were better because we had Zim, who's also in the Hall of Fame playing left tackle, and we had T-Bone, Tony Jones, that was the right tackle. So I thought we were more dominant, even though we had better numbers than 98. I thought collection of talent, I thought we were better in 97. And I can see, you know, we were just unstoppable. We had Bubby Brister come in for John for like 5 games, Skip, and we averaged more points with Bubby than we did with John. So I get it, Skip, but it's hard because when you look at some of the people on this list, as you look at some of the teams, you look at, let's say for the Chiefs, Skip, not to get too far, they took the team that won the Super Bowl as opposed than the team that Pat Mahomes was the MVP on. And I'm like, I don't know about that one, Skip. And I get it, they won the Super Bowl, but what Pat Mahomes did his second year, Skip, that was phenomenal. But I agree with you. Any of the 70 Steelers teams could easily be number one. Any of them, Skip, because they would, like you said, when you got a quarterback that's in the Hall of Fame, 2 receivers, a running back and the receiver, and then the defense, you got 2 linebackers, a corner, a D-line, and you're talking about some of the Pantheon greats, Skip. We're not just talking about just Hall of Famers. We're talking about some of the best at the position. Nah, you can't beat that one.
Shannon,
I ain't taking nobody over them, Skip. I'm sorry.
Shannon, to your point about the 75 Steelers, again, I was at that Super Bowl, also at the Orange Bowl, and I remember it as the Golden Richards game because Mel Blount, the great Mel Blount, as physical a corner as ever played, Mel Blount
broke
the ribs of little Golden Richards. He broke his ribs in that game.
Skip, you know, Mel grew up in Lyons, Georgia. I grew up in Glenville. We're about 30 miles apart from each other, so I know Mel very well. Skip, he made them change the rules. Whew. He was the reason why they changed the rules about the 5 yards. Plus, he was the first really big, true corner, Skip. Mel's 6'4". And if you've ever been around him, Skip, you always see him in a cowboy hat and boots. But he's still a very large man. Yep. Can you imagine? And Defensive Player of the Year. They were littered with Defensive Player of the Year. They went like 3 of the last 4 years, Skip, where Joe Green won it, Mel Blount won it, and Jack Lambert won it. So that's what you were up against, Skip, in the 70s. No mercy.
Time for our trending story of the day, sponsored by Kia's tough and ready lineup of all-wheel drive SUVs. Give it everything. So fellow NBA superstar and longtime friend of LeBron, Carmelo Anthony, got to weigh in on the GOAT debate. To most people's surprise, Melo said that Jordan is the GOAT and followed it up by saying, quote, "We all know that and we all agree to that." He added that LeBron is still great and also should be appreciated. So Shannon, is Melo out of bounds saying Jordan is the GOAT over one of his closest friends? These two are really tight. What do you got?
No, they are very tight. No, he's not out of bounds. He's entitled to his opinion, and I think that's the thing that you like about friends, is that I want friends to tell me what I want to hear, not what I need to know. I mean, what I need to know, not what I want to hear. And I think this is a situation, Skip, look, it's hard, and I commend Melo for this, Skip, it's hard for you to look objectively because he just looks at LeBron, that's my boy, that's my friend. Skip, for me, when people were telling me, man, your brother just as good as Jerry Rice. Skip, I couldn't see it. That's my brother. I can't look at you like that. You my brother. Even though he's putting up numbers that are better than Jerry, Skip, I can't see that. And I think sometimes as you get so close to the situation, You can't look at LeBron as the GOAT. Man, that's just my point. We came in together. We cool. We vacation. Our families vacation together. So you don't, but for him to feel that way, LeBron shouldn't be mad. Now, if one of my boys, one of my good friends, like, man, yeah, Tony was better than you, Gronk better than you, I'm like, y'all think so? Like, all right, don't come to my house again. No, I just can't skip. But, you know, no, let Melo have his opinion. And so I don't have a, Skip, I really don't. I don't have a problem with Melo feeling that LeBron, that Jordan is the GOAT. He's entitled to his opinion. He's played the game. And based on what he sees and how Jordan played and playing against LeBron, that's the way he feels. And so I don't have a problem with it. I disagree. Let me get that on the record. Because I don't want you to say, well, look, you didn't ever refute Melo. I vehemently disagree. I strenuously disagree with Melo, okay? That's on the record.
Okay, but didn't you start off your comments by saying you need your friends, especially your best friend, to tell you what you need to hear, which is that Jordan was better. Jordan's the GOAT, right? So you're telling me that LeBron needed to hear from Carmelo, Jordan's the GOAT, right?
No, I don't want my friend just to go alone just because I'm his boy, just agree with everything. If that's the way you feel, that's the way you feel. Skip, but like I said, it's hard to, when you become close to someone, Skip, it's hard to see them outside of that friendship as being like great. The GOAT, the greatest of all time. Like, man, my best friend is the greatest of all time. Skip, it's hard to rationalize that. It's hard for me to put it into words, but like I said, I can just equate to me having a brother. And people say, man, your brother is good, if not better than Jerry Rice. But I couldn't see that because, man, I grew up with him. I slept right in the bed. I slept in the bed with that guy. How can he be the GOAT? I can't have a brother that's the GOAT, can I? And so I think that's what Melo is dealing with.
Shannon Sharp. LeBron James is not going to love this. Think about this. LeBron's maybe best friend in the whole world, a guy who came into the NBA in the same draft as he was. I think it could be Melo, but who knows? That's subjective. But he's one of his best friends. He flat out declared that Michael Jordan is the GOAT. And the way he said it, left no doubt, because he said, you know MJ is the GOAT. He's the greatest ever. We all know that, and we all agree to that. We do?
Who is we?
My
who is
partner,
we? Yeah, exactly. Who is we?
Does not agree.
I sure don't.
I'm like, really? Really, Carmelo? Well, thank you for saying that, because you just closed the door right in your best friend's face. And I got to tell you, this is exactly the kind of betrayal that Michael Jordan himself would not abide. See Charles Barkley. Remember when Charles dared to, on TNT, criticize Michael's team building in Charlotte, that bridge got burned to the ground, over, shut out, will not speak to you, will not take your calls anymore. That's Jordan. LeBron not built like that, so I don't think it's going to burn the bridge. I think it will hurt him more than it will offend him. LeBron's too nice of a guy. He's more of a lover than a fighter. He's not going to shut off Carmelo over this, but I think he's going to be wounded over it because Carmelo was so adamant about it, like there's not even any gray area. It's this. Then Carmelo tried to give himself an escape hatch. He tried to backtrack it a little bit, put an asterisk on it by saying, you know, we can say MJ was very great, but why can't we say LeBron is very great? Kobe is very great. We're not allowed to say those things today because it's always this or that. And that's just our society. Yeah. You have to choose one. Well, Carmelo, you just did choose. You didn't start off saying MJ was great, but LeBron's great and Kobe's great. You didn't say that. You just flat out, boom, laid it right on the table. We all know and we all agree that Jordan's the GOAT. Well, we do. That's just painfully, blatantly obvious to me. I've been trying to tell you that for 4 years.
Could I ask you a question? So is this why Michael Jordan, MJ, tried to paint Scottie Pippen in a negative light? Because you remember Scottie said that LeBron was better than MJ? You remember that, Skip? You remember that quote? Is that why MJ tried to paint Scottie in a negative light? Because the guy that played next to MJ for all those years, won those titles, said LeBron was a better player. So is that why Michael Jordan did that? So clearly everybody is not in the camp. Oh, so I like that. Oh, Scottie Pippen, say old Goat James.
Yeah, but that's out of jealousy and bitterness because he was Robin and he was a distant Robin and he knew it.
Yeah.
And all the shine went on 23 and over there in the shadows was Pip.
Skip, let's be all the way 100. You don't think Melo might be a little jealous of LeBron? With all those MVPs, with all those first team All-NBAs, with all those finals appearances, we don't even mention Carmelo. We don't even mention Carmelo in the same breath as LeBron. You take 7 breaths before you even mention Carmelo. But you don't think there's no jealousy in that, right? You see how you do that, Skip? If anybody says anything does not coincide.
Time out.
Go ahead.
Time out. You know what? That's a good point. You could be right about that. There may be some jealousy underlying this, motivating this.
It's not.
If that's the truth, this bridge is on fire then between Melo and his best friend, LeBron James. There's going to be damage done to this relationship.
No, it's not. See, the problem that I have, Skip, is that anybody that does not subscribe to the fact that Michael Jordan is the greatest is out of jealousy. Why can't I have an honest opinion? Why can't someone have an opinion? That just be their opinion and it be no bias involved. Carmelo can sincerely feel that Michael Jordan is the best player and there's no jealousy. I said that to just to throw that out there for you. I do not believe Carmelo is jealous of LeBron. I believe they are good friends and good friends, true friends, want what's best, even if that's not in your best interest. So I believe Carmelo is happy that everything LeBron has accomplished. Right. But you always talk about Scottie Pippen was jealous. Now, why can't he be objective?
He was just jealous. I just know because I covered the team. I was there. He dripped jealousy and bitterness. So did Horace Grant. We'll talk about all that later. We hope to have Horace on the show maybe next week. But the point is that you're telling me it was up to a best friend to tell LeBron the truth. And he told him the truth, which is it's not even close. These quotes are, it's over. Like, everybody knows, everybody accepts that Jordan's the GOAT. And again, it is true, Shannon. We've been through this for 6 weeks on this show. The mountain of greats who have said Jordan's the GOAT just dwarfs your tiny little hill that you're on over here by yourself. You're the last man standing on this tiny little hill saying, no, it's LeBron. It's not LeBron. It's over. And even his best friend said, it's way over. He didn't even give you any wiggle room here. Everybody knows it's over, LeBron. So he told his best friend the truth, and he told you the truth.
Skip, it's like this. If I grew up watching somebody, I admire them, I had all their shoes, and all of a sudden I come up with a guy and I become friends with a guy that I consider to be the greatest. Skip, when you grow up admiring somebody, you're only going to see them in that light. And so that's not going to be taken away no matter how close, no matter how good a friend you are, no matter how great someone is, the person that you admire is always going to be in that light to you. So that's all I'm saying. Carmelo, I believe Carmelo believed that Michael Jordan is the GOAT. I don't have a problem with that. It doesn't sway me. I mean, Carmelo might like ribs. Mm. I like fried chicken myself. That don't mean his dish is better than mine. It's just a matter of what you like. Mm. But I got GOAT James.
Well,
GOAT.
I hate ribs, I don't like fried chicken either. So I'm out. I just love Michael Jordan. And I love what Carmelo, I love the way he ended this. He said, most people loved The Last Dance. And then there were people who hated it because a lot of times people hate the actual truth. Shannon Sharpe hates the actual truth because it makes him look wrong about his man, LeBron James.
Hold on, Skip. What Carmelo is saying about the actual truth? Well, maybe if Carmelo if you had passed the ball more, you would have more championships. Maybe if someone drove you to always be in shape, you would have more championships. If you want the truth, Skip, stop that. How do we know what's the truth? We know stuff got edited out that other that people said about Michael. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Now you're taking shots at Mello. Geez, Shannon. He's going to have some words for you as well. Just be ready for that. No mercy.